You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. Liz Watson was elected the Democratic Party's nominee for the 9th Congressional District in yesterday's Indiana primary. Watson will run against incumbent Republican Congressman Trey Hollingsworth this fall. We'll hear from Watson about her campaign approach from clinching the nomination in today's feature report. That's coming up later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, the Indiana Attorney General's Office announced it's charging two construction contractors for defrauding storm-wrecked homeowners in the state. Better Beware's Richard Fish takes us through that and other increasingly popular scams today. And on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Polls closed at 6 o'clock last night for Indiana's primary election. Most races were called by 8:20. Businessman and former state representative Mike Braun won a hotly contested race for the Republican nomination to face incumbent Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly in the fall. Brown beat out two Indiana congressmen, Luke Messer and Todd Rokita, in a race that garnered national attention for its divisiveness. The three candidates all tried to closely align themselves with President Donald Trump to appeal to conservative Republican voters across the state. And in the end, Mike Braun's largely self-financed campaign won with over 200,000 votes. Over 150,000 voters chose Todd Rokita. Luke Messer finished last with over 145,000 votes. Braun entered the race after Rokita and Messer and accused both of being Washington, D.C. insiders, echoing Trump's swamp rhetoric.
Vice President Mike Pence's older brother, Greg Pence, also won last night. Greg Pence won the Republican nomination for Mike Pence's old seat in Indiana's 6th District, which encompasses the southeastern portion of the state. Pence won nearly 65%, or 47,000 votes, against a field of four other candidates. Incumbent Republican Jackie Walorski also easily won re-election as the nominee for Indiana's 2nd Congressional District. Walorski was named in an Ohio lawsuit alleging that she, along with Todd Rokita and Luke Messer, violated campaign laws after taking money from an Ohio politician. The suit claims Walorski, Rokita, and Messer were among a dozen of Republican incumbent beneficiaries of the so-called straw voter scheme. For more on that story, we go to WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester with this report.
Republican Senate candidates Luke Messer and Todd Rokita are facing accusations that they violated campaign finance laws. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports that the candidates are being implicated in what is known as a straw donor scheme. According to the Inquirer, Rokita and Messer both made donations to Ohio Republican candidate for governor, Jim Renacci. The controversy started when Renacci dropped out of Ohio's congressional race early last year and announced his plan to run for governor. Per Ohio elections law, Renacci is not allowed to transfer more than $12,000 from his federal congressional campaign funds to his gubernatorial campaign. It was at this point that Renacci made over $55,000 in donations to 12 Republican candidates in Ohio and Indiana, including Rokita and Messer. Eight of the 12 recipients then donated back to Renacci's campaign. Congressman Rokita and Messer, along with six other campaign contribution recipients, donated a combined $26,700 to Renacci's governor's campaign. That's more than double the amount Renacci would have been able to transfer directly from his congressional campaign to his governor's campaign. In the Enquirer story, Messer was accused of having accepted $4,000 in donations from Renacci. He then allegedly transferred $2,000 back to Renacci's gubernatorial campaign the next day. Renacci also donated $4,000 to Rakita's political action committee, Hoosiers for Rakita, in addition to donating $2,700 to his leadership PAC. The leadership PAC then donated $2,000 to Renacci's campaign a month later. This would not be the first time Renacci has been accused of skirting campaign finance laws. In 2014, the Ohio congressman was implicated in a separate straw donor scheme. An Ohio company had illegally funneled more than $200,000 to Renacci's 2014 Senate campaign. While Renacci did not face any criminal charges, the company's owner was sentenced to 15 months in federal prison for witness tampering during the case. Both Rokita and Messer have denied that they participated in any illegal activity. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
Women were the big winners in yesterday's primary election. Every woman that ran in local elections in Monroe County won their race. League of Women Voters for Bloomington and Monroe County President Ann Birch says yesterday's victories reflect a broader push by women towards equal representation.
There has been a push for some time that I think is starting to see some well-earned fruits where more women are going out for offices in the local area as well as in national politics, and they're becoming more accepted and more trusted, and they're gaining more positions.
The League of Women Voters was established in 1920 and is a nonpartisan organization that campaigns for equal political representation for voter demographics.
We support representation, and so encourage representation not only of women as an underrepresented group, but really any underrepresented group. And so the exciting thing about this is we're getting more equal representation, which means we have a better democracy.
Birch says she's excited more women are getting involved and getting elected to political office.
Well, I'm just celebrating the fact that there are so many that have gotten involved and that they are becoming so successful. So no matter, you know, what party they belong to or, you know, what their affiliation is, you know, we want to see this happen where more people get involved in the governmental system, more people understand it, and more people are represented by it.
Among the women who were elected during yesterday's primaries in Monroe County were Erica Oliphant, Elizabeth Lee Jones, Christine Tally Haseman, Kate Wiltz, Darcy Fawcett, and Catherine Stafford.
Monroe County Election Supervisor Karen Wheeler says that yesterday's primary went fairly smoothly throughout the 34 polling sites across the county. This year's midterm primary is Wheeler's first election as supervisor.
I know of one poll site, which I can't remember the name of it, that we had one that jammed, and we had an IT person that came out there immediately, got it fixed. It really was nothing. Just restarted the machine, and everything was fine, and that ballot was counted. I don't think that's really an issue, but we don't like to see that happening.
Wheeler says every ballot has been accounted for, except for the provisional ballots that will be reviewed in 9 days. At least one candidate, Christine Tally Haseman, won her seat by under 30 votes, beating out former Monroe County Prosecutor Chris Gall. Wheeler says the provisional ballots are unlikely to reverse that race.
Provisionals, historically, are usually, they have a very low number of being counted due to the fact that there's usually a reason that they're provisional, like they live out of county, they've never been registered, you know, something that would make them not be able to vote in Monroe County. But then there's people who also forgot their ID, can vote provisional, and they bring in their ID and it will count. So it's not likely that would be 27 votes, but miracles happen, so.
Wheeler also thanked the 300 poll workers the county hired, as well as the volunteers that helped out at polling sites. Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the B-Line. Cardinal Spirits has opened a new kitchen featuring local seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner is available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Liz Watson beat out Dan Cannon and Rob Chatlos to win yesterday's Democratic nomination for Indiana's 9th Congressional District. Watson, a Bloomington native, tells WFHB News Director Wes Martin that she's thankful to have won yesterday's race and she's ready to get to work on November.
Listen, Ms. Watson, congratulations on winning last night's primary. How do you feel about that victory?
Well, you know, it shows that our message that folks in Southern Indiana are tired of a system that's rigged against us and we want somebody who's going to actually fight for working families is connecting with voters across the 9th district. And that's important. You know, right now we have a representative who's in it to line his own pockets, who bought his seat in Congress and hasn't done anything to improve the lives of hardworking families. And folks are ready for a change.
Is this going to be a change of strategy for your campaign now that the primary's over and looking forward at?
You know, we're going to continue to talk about the kitchen table struggles facing folks in the 9th district. People want to be able to fill their prescriptions, but they can't afford it. They want help, you know, for their family members who are struggling with opioid crisis. People want living wage jobs. They want to make sure our schools, stay strong. In the face of attacks on public education. We're going to keep talking about those issues. We're going to keep showing up. I'm going to be in all 13 counties in the 9th district. Trey Hollingsworth hasn't held a single town hall in the district, and I've held town halls everywhere. And I've invited him to have a debate with me because Hoosiers deserve to see the choice that they have to make in November.
And I'm just wondering if you can tell me, you beat out Dan Cannon, who was the other front runner for the Democratic Party in this primary race. And I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about how you were able to out fundraise. And you performed incredibly well at the polls yesterday. We have 60%.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We have 60%.
66%,
was
6%, I think.
But a significant majority in this race. And I was just wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what your strategy was in that primary.
My strategy was to connect with voters across the 9th district, to show up everywhere and to really listen to, you know, what it is that people need, what's keeping them up at night. And that's what I did. You know, the more than 5,600 individual donors to our campaign, those spoke very loudly that, you know, they clearly want someone who's going to do that and who actually is going to come up with solutions to the sometimes complex problems in our lives. And that's what I know how to do, and that is why I'm running. And, you know, I'm running because I think that we ought to have a representative who is going to fight for all of us and who's going to leave no one behind. And folks connected with that message, and I'm really honored that they came behind me to support my campaign in so many ways. I mean, you're talking about the dollars that came in, but you know, hundreds of volunteers across the district knocking on doors, over 100 house parties that we held, in people's kitchens and their living rooms to talk about the change we need to see. You know, there's a lot at stake right now, and there are a lot of folks, who see how much is riding on this election and who are working really hard to flip our district. And I'm proud that they put their trust in me. I'm honored by that. And we are going to see it through to November and defeat Trey Hollingsworth.
Ms. Watson, I have to ask, you were one of a number of female candidates that ended up winning throughout races and throughout the country even. Do you think that had any effect on this race, and will that have an effect going forward?
Well, I think I was the strongest candidate in the race and on a lot of different levels. And when you win 66% of the vote, that's a clear mandate from voters. I think women are seeing that, you know, we need to fight for the change that we want to see. And I'm one of those women. And I stepped up and came forward. And so does a lot of other women across the country. And we are going to change the face of Congress. And that's important.
What is the strategy to winning some of the more conservative parts of this very purple district? Bloomington, it definitely sounds like, is very much behind Democratic candidates. But elsewhere in the district, things look very different. And I'm wondering if how you're going to coat or court a more moderate viewer, a more moderate voter?
Well, when you look at my numbers, if you look across, I actually won 12 out of 13 counties, and I came in within a couple hundred votes in the one that my opponent was from. So my numbers in the rural counties were great, and you know, clearly people were connecting with my message. So I think people are tired. You know, if you look at Hollingsworth numbers, right? I mean, a guy came into the primary, the Republican primary, very late in the race. You might have noticed, didn't raise or spend any money. Didn't have that much of a campaign operation, and took home what, 22% of the vote, right? So clearly he's very vulnerable. That shows that folks are tired of having somebody in Congress who's been a net zero for us, or less than zero, who voted to roll 300,000 Hoosiers off their health insurance, who took a $4.5 million tax cut out of the tax scam that he, you know, helped pass through Congress in the dead of night in December and stuffed it in his own pocket. You know, the largest tax cut to any member of the House of Representatives. I don't think you should be using Congress as your own personal cash register. I think you ought to be bringing home money to your district to invest in roads, bridges, highways, broadband, schools. And that's what I think ought to happen with that money.
Just one more question. I'm wondering, what do you think will be the biggest issue or the biggest political issue coming up in November? Is it the opioid crisis? Is it universal health care? What is it that your campaign is looking
at? Healthcare costs.
Healthcare costs.
People, you know, premiums and deductibles are sky high for too many people. Prescription drugs, people can't afford to fill their prescriptions. And, you know, people can't afford the treatment that they need for their loved ones who are in the grips of addiction, people who need mental health treatment. You know, healthcare coverage is a right, not a privilege. And I'm going to fight to make sure that every single person who gets sick has a fighting chance at getting better. And that's something that, you know, is going to be a top priority for me going in this campaign. It has been, and it will continue to be going forward.
And Ms. Watson, is there anything else that you want voters in the district or our listeners in Bloomington, in Nashville, Ellettsville, and Bedford to know either about you, about this victory, or about your campaign?
I mean, I want to say thank you. You know, thank you to the thousands of people who put their trust in me, who are going to work with me to take on Trey Hollingsworth and defeat him in November. We've got a lot of work to do, but, you know, Hoosiers are hardworking, and it's been incredible. The folks I've met along the way on this campaign who've gotten into this and given time they didn't know they had to make the difference that we need to see in Southern Indiana. And I look forward to working with all of you to get this done in November.
Liz Watson, the Democratic candidate for the 9th Congressional District, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Support for WFHB and Democracy Now! Is provided by attorney Ben Niehoff at Slotograph Niehoff, located at 200 East 3rd Street in downtown Bloomington, assisting families and small businesses in meeting the legal challenges of life. Ben provides family law services, including collaborative family law, an option outside the courtroom. More information is available at 812-332-6000 or at snlawoffice.com. Slotograph Niehoff, law for business, community, and life. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Whoa. Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Flash, the scammers are worse than ever. Well, I guess that's not really news if you're a regular listener to this feature or have been paying attention to the news. To start with, there's a bit of good news. The Indiana Attorney General reports that some nasty storm chasers have been put out of business. Last month, a judge in Hamilton County slammed the door on Veteran Construction Company Incorporated, operated by Kurt Beard and Michael Friary. These lowlifes took hundreds of thousands of dollars from people who had suffered storm damage to their houses and badly needed repairs. Beard and Friary just ran off with the money and never did any of the work they'd promised. Now they're on the hook for $356,578 and forbidden to ever again own, operate, or manage a company that does home improvements in Indiana. If our increasingly wild weather has slammed your home, double-check before you write a check, says the Attorney General. Investigate any company. Find out their history and their reputation before you write your name on any pieces of paper. Go with a long-established local company and find one by asking your friends, family, and co-workers for recommendations. And that old standby, the famous Nigerian Prince scam, also known as a 419 fraud, is actually doing better than ever. That's the con game where you get contacted from out of the blue by someone from a foreign country who says they're sitting on a pile of money they want to move to the United States. If you'll just let them use your bank account to do so, you can keep a nice big chunk of the swag. Well, last week, security firm CrowdStrike issued a report on groups like the Nigerian Black Axe Syndicate, who are working this fraud more profitably than ever. And now they're doing great business ripping off small businesses. The so-called Yahoo Boys research small companies thoroughly and can impersonate legitimate customers and clients, sending fake invoices and other scams that the business owners fall for all too often. Between 2030 and 2016, more than 40,000 small businesses lost more than $5 billion to these crooks. And you know your basic identity information has probably already been stolen, right? Well, it's being sold on the dark web, and the price can be as high as $1,200. Your email address might only be worth $9, but your password for Amazon, eBay, Costco, or Walmart might bring $164, because a scammer can ring up much more than that in fake purchases, and your PayPal login info will bring over $700. Use a different, strong password for every account you have, change them often, and keep a close eye on all your bills. That's life in the future, where we all live from now on. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Jonah Chester, and Sarah Vaughn in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Jenna Jankowski. Our theme music provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Danny Graff, and Scott Schmadeke. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is a new program on WFHB and is produced in partnership with the Asian Cultural Center on the campus of Indiana University, Bloomington. That's Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.